Hi, and welcome to another Glenn and Helen podcast. Our guest today is Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who's back to talk to us about immigration reform and what's going on in Congress with the immigration legislation.
And we have him on the phone now.
We're happy to be joined by Senator Bill Frist, whose last appearance on our show has been the most popular so far, with nearly 500,000 downloads. This time he's here talking about immigration, and I gather we've got some new developments on that front. What's going on, Senator?
Well, we're in the middle of a big discussion, a big debate in the United States Senate addressing a complex issue that is clearly defined by the fact that we have 2 to 3 million people coming into this country every year illegally across our southwestern border. That number is growing by about 25% a year. We don't know who they are, what their intentions are, where they're going, and that is flat out broken and wrong in terms of an immigration system that would protect us, secure our borders. We're failing.
Senator, I noticed that Hillary Clinton has been invoking Jesus a lot when she talks about immigration. What's with that? I thought Democrats were against mixing religion and politics.
You know, I don't know. To me, this whole issue of immigration is a national security issue first and foremost, in the sense that we don't know where people are coming and going. We do, in terms of invoking religion, there is a big compassion component to this. The fact that over 300 people died last year coming across the Arizona border. I don't know that you need to invoke religion to address this problem. I do think that we need to address this issue of tightening our borders, enforcing the laws at the work site aggressively, and reforming our overall immigration system in terms of our temporary worker program in a multifaceted way, and that you can't just address one component without addressing all three.
I noticed there's been a lot of anger over illegal immigration, and it's sort of interesting because you usually see that when there's a recession and a lot of people are out of work and they don't like competing with illegal immigrants. This anger seems to come from something different, from I'm not quite sure what, a sense perhaps of political betrayal or something. Can you tell me, do you have any sense for why this is an issue that's suddenly developed so much resonance?
Everybody's views are a little bit different. My view was colored when I went down on the Rio Grande border and spent a day and saw 400 people along this one sector of the Rio Grande in Texas. 400 people stopped that night who were coming to this country, and then recognizing that for every one of them, 2 to 3 slipped through that very same border that night. The fact that I saw people fingerprinted who were detained illegally, and then I thought they'd be sent back to their country since they broke the law, but instead they walked out the door within 6 hours to come up to Tennessee or to Georgia or to Minnesota, and the system being so obviously broken for somebody such as myself. I'm a legislator. I'm in Washington, D.C. The rule of law is first and foremost for me. To see our laws clearly on the books being so badly broken, that causes anger. It causes passion. It causes a national security concern because we don't know who these people are. And there's no way to know who those 800, 900 people who snuck across the border in that one sector tonight, what their intentions are. We have to act.
We have in our family a number of legal immigrants from Nigeria, and they're actually hopping mad about this for two reasons. I mean, one is that these illegal immigrants don't have to jump through all the hoops that they had to jump through to get their green cards and their citizenship. And the other thing, actually, is they felt they were treated pretty rudely and unfairly by the Immigration and Naturalization Service as they jumped through all those hoops. As you look at illegal immigration, are you going to look at anything having to do with making life easier for people who actually try to follow the law?
Yeah, I think, you have a great point in the fact that people who have waited in line and gone through that process, and it's an arduous process, a complicated process, one that takes time, who are here legally today do resent people who slipped across the border in the middle of the night, who are getting all the benefits of crowding our hospitals and crowding our schools, getting all the benefits of our society, but illegally. That is exactly why the McCain-Kennedy approach will be defeated on the floor later today, because it gives what is known as amnesty generally you're giving the people who broke the law illegally a leg up on the 3 million people who are outside of our country waiting in line today in a legal way to come into this country. And that is, it's unfair, and I think in large part is why that bill will not be successful.
Do you think people will be able to get in more easily now?
Well, I think if people, there are going to be two things that happen. There is a temporary worker program that likely will be set up that will have to be enlarged to a certain extent, or will be enlarged to a certain extent, to accommodate the flow of people who can come, want to come in a legal way to this country.
Mm-hmm.
That can be adjusted over time, year to year. So if unemployment is very high in this country, right now we are blessed, our economy is good, unemployment is lower than it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we have good economic growth. So right now people aren't focusing on it, but what if unemployment goes up to, say, 8 or 9%? It won't under this administration, I promise you. But in some future administration, if it goes up, then we're going to have to tighten up the number of legal immigrants that come into this country. And that's going to be important because otherwise our Americans aren't going to have the opportunity to work. And that's the sort of system that we need to put in place. It doesn't exist now. We just got millions of people coming across the border every year, and we have no control over it.
Now, Hugh Hewitt was predicting a year ago that this was a sort of issue that could really split the Republican Party and maybe even produce a third-party candidacy in 2008. Do you see that as a real risk for the Republican Party?
The interesting thing from my position, where I'm dealing with 99 other senators representative of all 50 states, is that it really doesn't break out in a Republican-Democrat position. If you look within the Republican caucus, there is a lot of disagreement. How do you treat the 12 million people who are here? Do you send everybody home? It's not a monolithic group. Well, you can't do that realistically. Agreement around tightening the borders. How strong to be with the worksite enforcement. A lot of disagreement. But it is such a national problem, an American problem, a problem of the rule of law, that we all have to step above just partisan politics and address it. And what I'm afraid is that everybody will say, put this thing off, put it off, put it off. You know, it's too hot, or let's use it in the elections. You know, Democrats may want to filibuster, block everything, and they're blocking a lot on the floor right now. They won't let us consider our Republican amendments over the last 48 hours. If it becomes a partisan issue, that's a disservice to the American people. Right now, our national security is at stake. The safety of people in their homes is at stake. So we've got to act, not in a Republican or Democrat way, but in an American way.
Thank you. Well, I know you're short on time, but one last question. Yesterday, your colleague Trent Lott got a fair amount of attention by saying that he was just tired of the Porkbusters movement and that they were causing him a lot of trouble. And as one of the founders of the Porkbusters movement, pushing for more transparency in Congress, and we supported Senator Coburn's bill to produce a lot more transparency. I just wonder if you think we're going to see any progress on bringing pork under control before this Congress is over.
You know, we absolutely have to. And the first step is transparency, holding people accountable and making sure that if somebody has a particular interest or a project, and not all projects are bad, as you know, but that it have the opportunity to be seen, sunlight shining on it, debated, voted upon, and so the age of pork has got to be destroyed. We've got to get a handle on it. These earmarks right now, as you well know, we had 5,000 what are so-called earmarks 10 years ago. Now it's up to 15,000. That absolutely has got to be reversed. We took a first good step in a lobbying reform bill as a first step, and again, it's just a first step last week in the United States Senate. You'll see other legislation on earmarks coming through in the next several weeks to several months to reverse this trend.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you once again. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
You know, I can't help but think when I hear all this that maybe I should just try sneaking into the Senate chamber and sitting down at somebody's desk and casting votes as an undocumented senator. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Well, it should sure be fun. We need more Abby Hoffman-style politics here. And apparently I can get by the security if I just pretend to be Cynthia McKinney.
Boy, you got to punch people in the face.
Okay, maybe that's taking things too far. Well, we hope you enjoyed this interview. We'll be back whenever we feel like it. Until then, keep an eye on our websites, instapundit.com and drhelen.blogspot.com. We'll tell you about future episodes there, or you can always subscribe via iTunes. We like that. In the meantime, have fun on the internet.
Talk to you next time.